I just feel like it's time to dive right in, you know? I feel like the presence of the Lord is here. We're going to go to Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. We're working through this series called Hebrews, Jesus is the Better Way. This book of Hebrews really explains this story, how Jesus is superior. Superior than all the things. Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, any religion that you might have come from, Jesus is superior. 4:14, it says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And in the Bible, when we're reading this, and I'm the digital pastor here, but there's something about this paper book, this word of God, that whenever you see that phrase, so then, or therefore, or because of this, it's important to go back. So I'm going to take a step back to verse 13, and it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. That might perk you up a little bit. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one whom we are accountable. And I want to set that stage this morning with that truth. Talk about that truth just a little bit, that we are accountable to God. We are accountable to God. And I think too often in church specifically or out of church, maybe for explorers, people may be exploring the faith that don't even know anything about God, but they hear a phrase like that, that we are accountable, or they hear a scripture like that and they're like, I don't want anything to do with it. Or maybe you're kind of interested, but it causes you anxiety, or it causes you worry, or it creates this angst of like, oh man, I don't know if I want anything to do with that. And what happens is that actually builds the foundation of our faith. We go through this life of when we decide to become a Christian that we see just God as this one person, this one thing that we need to be accountable to. And we live this faith religion out of fear. That there's this list of proper things that we need to do just because we're accountable to God. And maybe you're in here right now that you're like, yeah, that's kind of my faith perspective. That's kind of how I was brought up. I'm accountable to God, so I'm going to pursue good behavior. Well, I'm here to tell you that religion is not just about good behavior. It's about a person, and his name is Jesus, and you can have relationship with him. So what happens is we hear these things like God is a judge and we are to be accountable to him. And the fact of the matter is it's true. The fact is that is true. And Romans says each of us shall give an account of himself to God. But he isn't a one-dimensional God. He can't only be defined by one word, be defined by one phrase. I thought of this phrase when I didn't know about Jesus. The phrase that just stuck with me was religious deity. I didn't really know anything else, but maybe something about priests or priesthoods, and there was this thing that I was never going to be good enough to get to. So this is, I didn't grow up in church. This is before even coming to Jesus. I was like, this thing is implanted in me. I have a faith foundation that he's against me, not for me, before I even begin a journey of faith. Until I experienced Jesus for myself and found pure freedom in Jesus. When he made me a brand new creation in September of 2010, when I was at the end of my rope, when my mentor said, hey, what about church, man? And I said, absolutely not. Because I thought it was just this thing that people did. You put on this face, we show up to church, we go through the motions. I thought that's really what a Christian was all about. The reality is, it's about a man named Jesus Christ that came to set captives free and came to set all of us free. Come on, can I get a shout for Jesus? And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit this morning to reveal Jesus to you in a powerful way. Because what happens is we get these things like judge and I need to be accountable. And what happens is the enemy wants you to believe it. The enemy wants you to believe that's the only way that we can define God. The only way that he can be defined is a judge, and he's watching you and he's looking at you, and every single decision that you make, he's gonna be judging you. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit actually wants to reveal Jesus to you because Jesus abides in the Father constantly. He's abiding in the Father, and the Holy Spirit actually wants you to encounter Jesus for yourself. Jesus is so worthy and so wonderful. That's why when we have worship like we had this morning, there's tears and people are crying because it's, oh my gosh, from this place of I've had an encounter with Jesus. The enemy will flat out lie about the character of God because he doesn't want us to follow Jesus. It's a reality that we must face. But it was God's perfect plan to send his son Jesus. That was his redemption plan, to send a great high priest that we just talked about to die for us, for every single person. And if you remember the first week of the series, Matt used this scripture. It's Hebrews 1, verse 3. It says, the Son radiates God's own glory, and check this, and expresses the very character of God. A lot of times we think Jesus is over here and God is over here and different things. The scripture says that the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Jesus expresses the very character of God, and what good news that is this morning. And it doesn't just stop there. It's not like this thing, okay, Jesus is just, you know, at the right hand of God the Father. No, he sat down at the place of highest honor. And what does he do from that position while he's at the highest place of honor? Listen to this in 1 John 2, 1 through 2. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. See, Jesus pours out love for us constantly. Jesus is for us, he is not against us. And sometimes we can think that for some reason, whatever we've come up in our religious beliefs, that you know what, this God, Jesus is just always against me, and it is a flat out lie. The scripture tells us that Jesus is actually pleading our case to God the Father. Jesus isn't just this far off thing, he's pleading your case to the Father. He's the best defense lawyer that we can have because Jesus is our advocate. He is for us and he is not against us. If you put your trust in Jesus, he automatically becomes your advocate. And there's nothing you need to do to earn the love of Jesus. And he died while we were still sinners. Before you even knew Jesus, he was advocating for you. He offers us counsel and strength and support, and he actually intercedes on our behalf. Because we're born into sin, the law is very clear. His righteous law says that we are guilty on all accounts when we're born into sin. And the only just punishment for that kind of wickedness, the Bible says, is an eternity in hell. That's the reality that we face. But Jesus stands in as an advocate. When we say, yes, Jesus, he stands in as an advocate between our repented hearts and God the Father, or the law. He is our advocate from the time we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior until the end of time. Does that excite anybody? Come on, are you excited about Jesus? This is what it actually looks like. If I am playing Jesus in this little skit, he says, Father God, this is Carter. And your law says that he's guilty on all accounts. But Father God, your word says that I paid his debt, that I died for him, that if he confesses Jesus, me, as his Lord and Savior, he is not guilty. I know what it's like to face sin because I did it too as Son of Man. But Carter, not guilty. And he does that for this entire room. He says, Jeff, there's Jeff. He's guilty, God, by the law. But your word says that I paid the debt for him. And he's washed white as snow through me. It's what it means to have an advocate. And there is only one mediator. The word says in 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. There is only one way. There's only one thing that points to God and being reconciled back to him, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is no other plan. Think about that. We hear those scriptures like there's only one way, and it's like, yeah, I know that. But think about God in all-knowing, all-powerful. This is it. This is the best he's got. It's just Jesus. He gave up his life to purchase freedom for everyone. We are held accountable, but Jesus is on our side, and he's more than on our side. He gave up his life for us. The scripture says that Jesus is our great high priest. 4:14. So then, since we have a great high priest who entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. So what does this actually mean? I'm going to give you a quick rundown, a background of priesthood under the old covenant and what it looked like, because God and man were separated. There was nothing that we could do. So what this looked like is the priests mediated in special religious services. Some of us might know this. They were wholly set apart to perform those services. One of the main jobs was to offer sacrifices to God, of course, and the priests prayed for people. They would ask God's guidance and direction for the people in their lives. They were religious teachers of the law. And of course, when the Israelites did things wrong and they needed forgiveness, the priests would be the go-between and offer sacrifices to God. So this is important. This is where the rubber kind of meets the road. Among the priests, there is one called the high priest. And he had the most important role. He would go into the most sacred part of the temple called the most high place, or holy of holies, same thing, to make offerings for the sins of the people once a year on that special day called Day of Atonement. He was the only person that could enter the most high place behind the veil to stand before God and actually be in the presence of God. Think about this. Before this, man could not be in the actual presence of God. I think we were all in the presence of God this morning. I think we're in the presence of God right now. This veil separated the most holy place from the place that man could be. And by these sacrifices, these people's sins were just temporarily relieved. Over and over and over, they had to do it, until the Messiah came to take their sins away. And guess what? The Messiah came. He came to take away the sin of the world, because sin always has and always will separate us from God. God and man always separated, but it was through this imperfect system that God perfectly set up to point to Jesus Christ forever, because this priesthood on earth was never meant to continue, but Jesus Christ's priesthood is eternal. He offered himself as a sacrifice to be sin on our behalf before we did anything. On the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." And the Bible says he gave up his spirit. Those three words, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. And the Bible says the ground quaked and the earth shook at that time. And the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. So we have access to God through Jesus Christ. Giving us direct access to God the Father. He is the one who is superior to the priests. He's the one that is superior to the prophets. He's the one that is superior to Moses. He's the one that is superior to the priesthood. He's the one that is superior to everything, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is for you, and he's not against you, church. He is our advocate. And he loves you so much. As I was preparing for this message, I really felt in my spirit that the Lord just said, "Dustin, I want them to know how much I love them." I don't think I'll ever actually understand how much he does. He says, "Dustin, I just want to be with you, man. I just want to be intimate with you. First love relationship, that's what it's about. I don't think I'll ever understand what it means. I don't think I'll ever understand how good it is until that day." We have an advocate who became sin for us, and because of it, we have no need for repeated sacrifice. Unlike the Old Testament priests who had to offer these sacrifices year after year after year, Jesus was so perfect. And he was so complete that he did it once and for all. He's the mediator between God and us. Just like the priests in the Old Testament were mediators, Jesus serves as this mediator too. He's there for us. He helps us. He forgives sins. He's our advocate. He is the ultimate bridge. Think of Jesus as the bridge between us and God because of what he did. Without it, it actually doesn't happen. Just as the high priest went through that veil and the earthly most high place, Jesus has entered into the presence of God in heaven itself. The access to the Father that he has obtained is present and a continuing reality for his people. That's me and you. This great high priest understands us. In 4:15, it says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses." Do you see how it just keeps getting better and better and better? "For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." Jesus has compassion for us. See, in the Bible, he is constantly showing up in situations. He's constantly showing up to teach, to heal, to free, to feed, to be with people that need a true Savior. In any story, when he meets somebody, he approaches it with this lowly humility that I am here to serve because I have compassion for you. So not only is he interceding on our behalf to the Father, he is for us. He's not against us. And he knows what we go through. He resonates with it. He knows what we go through because he is not just Son of God. He is Son of Man. He knows what you're going through. Jesus was accused. Jesus was betrayed. He was tempted. He was overlooked. He was an outcast. Jesus identifies with every one of those things. So not only does he stand in as our advocate and pleads our case, but he can also say, you know what, God? I know what it's like to go through that. I know what it's like to face that. Rejection. And this is what sets Christianity apart from every religion on earth, that we serve a king that left the place of his throne to become man, to be our advocate. What a promise and what great news. There is nobody like Jesus. He says, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to not call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. This morning, I pray that you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you in a powerful way. It's what the Holy Spirit wants for all of us. So what we have in this triune God, this Trinity, is we have God the Father who is perfectly pleased with his Son. And we have the Son who is only abiding in Father. And then we have the Holy Spirit that's constantly revealing Jesus. Revealing Jesus everywhere we go. Revealing Jesus everywhere we go. Revealing Jesus, and Jesus's character expresses God. And God says, that's my Son, I love him. That's my Son, I love him. We get to play a part in that. When we obey and we yield to the Spirit, he just wants to reveal Jesus. And he's for us and he's not against us. And when we start to spend time with Jesus, we actually can begin to develop that heart of God for other people. When we know that he's for us, not against us, we can come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Hebrews 4:16, it says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So what keeps us from boldly coming to the throne of grace? Oh man, this crushed me. What keeps me from it? Is it that faith foundation that I talked about? Like, I don't really want to be in the presence of somebody who's just going to constantly judge me. Or I don't want to be in the presence of someone that I think I need to constantly be accountable to. Or maybe it's sin. The shame of sin that we can carry, the guilt that we have that keeps us out of God's presence. Or maybe it's specific things like, well, I'm just too busy. Or I'm feeling a little bit too lazy. Or I'd rather watch, you know, the Eagles or the Phillies or whatever it may be. What is it that actually keeps us from this presence of Jesus, the throne of God's grace? If you know that he's for you, he's not against you, this should be a place that we run to. I know for me, I've been having some awesome alone times with the Lord recently, and it's like, you know, I'm like spending an hour, which is great. You know, that's awesome to read and pray for like an hour every day. That's huge. But part of me is like, man, that's pathetic when there's 24 hours in a day. You know, I don't feel guilt or shame about that. I'm just being honest up here. And it's like, man, Jesus, I'm so grateful you don't have my schedule. Like, he just constantly wants more of us. That's what first love actually means. And I think sometimes we make the love of God so confusing. We just make it way more difficult than it needs to be. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God above all else. Sometimes I hear that and I'm like, that is a thing to do. Okay, I must love God above everything else and keep doing my thing. But the reality is, I wonder if God was like, I love you so much, like I just want you to love me back. It's the most important thing. Like, Dustin, I know you love sports, right? But man, they pale in comparison to what Jesus did for me on the cross. And, you know, he's saying, I know you're busy. I know you got a full plate. But I'm here and I love you and I'm for you and I'm not against you. To the lukewarm church in Laodicea, Jesus makes this plea in Revelation. It's 3:20. It says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. 21. Those who are victorious, listen, will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. You might think that that's like a new believer's point. Like, yeah, Dustin, I get that. The fact is, this is a church that's turned its back on Jesus. Or comparison, this is to a group of believers that one time they were fired up for the Lord, but it's since they kind of mellowed out. They kind of chilled out. Imagine this. Imagine actually Jesus showing up to worship center and knocking on the door and it's locked. He knows what we go through, which means he feels real feelings. What it would feel like to him to be an outcast, to be shut out, to not be included. Jesus can relate to you if you're going through any of those things. That scripture is for the church. That scripture is for all of us. Because of Christ, the great high priest, we can come into God's presence. That veil was torn. And I'm pleading with you to come boldly. Don't be afraid. You know, we hear about God as this all-consuming fire. And like I said, he actually is. But he's also got this throne of grace, which is a true mercy seat, where he just looks at us constantly through this lens of mercy. So what actually holds us back from doing it? We are urged to draw near to the true heavenly throne of God with confidence. As the band plays in just a bit, I want you to allow this to actually be that new faith foundation. This promise that he is for me, he's not against me, so I can come boldly to God's throne. So I want us to reflect on this question. What is holding me back from continually coming to God's gracious throne? Do you need peace this morning? Are you feeling really lonely? The scripture says, you will find grace to help you when you need it most. So let's just take this time. You can stay seated. What is holding us back from continually coming to God's gracious throne? I promise you, you will find grace to help you. Let's reflect a little bit this morning.
We run to the Father. We run to the Son. Reveal him, Holy Spirit. The gospel is three in one. Remove all fear and anxiety. Come boldly before your King. Son of God, Son of Man, He knows and He understands, and He calls you out by name. He knew you in the womb. He calls you out by name again and again and again and again. Wants to fill you with holy fire so you burn for Him. Say goodbye to lesser lovers and burn for Him. He calls you by name. Let Him in, let Him in, we let you in. To the places no one sees, we let you in.
You know, whatever you're thinking about that keeps you from His throne, God says, I don't care. He says, I just want you. So this morning, maybe you're here and you're like, Dustin, I don't even like know what half of this is about. I've never made the decision to follow Jesus. You can make that decision today. And I promise you, it's the best decision that you will ever make in your life. Or maybe you're like, you know, man, take me back. God, take me back to the point when I had this revelation of who you are in my heart. But since I've just kind of floated and drifted, it's decision day for you too. Jesus is worth it. So I want to read this prayer, salvation prayer that doesn't actually save you. Jesus saves you, but this is how we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So I would love everybody to repeat this after me. We can all share this together, pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He came to earth, gave His life, shed His blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I repent of my sin. I believe Jesus rose from the dead so I can be raised from spiritual death and have eternal life. I believe in my heart, and I say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for making me brand new. I will never be the same again. Amen. Man, Jesus is so worth it. If you're here and you made that decision for the first time, or maybe it's not the first time, but it's a rededication, I want you to throw up your hands so fast in the air, because our ushers have a Bible for you. It is the best decision that you can make if you are making the decision to follow Jesus for the first time or recommitment. Throw up your hand in the air. If you get that Bible, I want you to go to Connections. That's what Don talked about. There are rooms in the back of the auditorium. Meet with someone there. Tell them today you put a stake in the ground to be a follower of Jesus. And the next step is water baptism for you. So if you're making that decision today, or maybe you know someone that's made that decision, the next step is water baptism. Can we just give a hand for Jesus to give Him some praise? We don't have to approach His gracious throne with timidness or scaredness. He is so much for you because He loves you. He loves you so much. So if you need prayer for anything at all, if you're in the middle of it, we want to invite you to come down front at the end of the service. to get prayer. And as a reminder, connection rooms are at the back of the auditorium. If you're new here, you can stop by there and ask any questions that you may have. So stand up one more time, and we're going to give a shout for Jesus before you go. Come on, let's give a hand clap for him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you guys for being here so much. Let's stay connected this week online, and we will see you back here next week. Thank you, everybody.